I'd like to invite Peter Mayland to come up.
It's an honor to be here. I want to thank the senior monastics first, the elders. Lumpur Pasano. I'm hearing Ajahn Amro being referred to as Lumpur also. And down the line, to the monks that I knew when they weren't monks and when they came as Anagarikas. And I don't see, is Tom down there, otherwise known as Ajahn Kurundamo? He is, hi. And Ajahn Sundra. One of the things I'm learning as I'm sitting here is it takes a village, a global village, to create a monastery. All the different elements that have come to making this happen. I was thinking earlier about the Sangapala board. I mean, they did this just amazing, amazing thing. And a couple of times it's been mentioned about Master Hua giving the first portion of land. I have never in my life heard a story of one religious organization giving that kind of gift, of that magnitude, 125 acres of land. I mean, that's unheard of in my lifetime. That generosity, I think, is amazing. And perhaps the miracle, literally, that founds this monastery and all the miracles, if you will, that take place here or around here. Including that I learned about this practice. Lindsay Wansberry was here earlier. I don't know if she's still here, but I met her at a seminar, a continuing medical education seminar, Buddhism and Psychotherapy. And it just sounded different. It didn't sound like it was going to be very technical. And that's what turned me on to that my work as a psychiatrist was really the same work that the Buddha set out to do, which is the end of suffering, except the Buddha had a much more complete practice, an entire way of life to accomplish that, rather than simply asking people to lie down and say what came to their mind, eliminating a lot of the other aspects of mind that one can do in meditation. And you don't need the psychotherapist or the psychoanalyst to hear your thoughts. The other thing I really want to stress is the love that I feel. Somebody earlier also mentioned Kalyanamitta, and a quote that I often use where Ananda goes to the Buddha and asks whether Kalyanamitta is not half of the practice, and the Buddha says, no, it's the whole practice. I am loved by a number of people who are in this room today, and I love them as well. This is one of the few places I can come in Redwood Valley. I can walk in. I don't have to knock. It's a home, and I am indeed loved by many people. That also is a miracle for me, to have that spontaneously arise in the course of my relationships with the monastics here. And the miracle itself, actually, was after meeting Lindsay and reading Ajahn Sumedho's book on the Four Noble Truths and not seeing any problems with it. I have a BS meter in my mind that has always reacted to organized religions. And I mean, here I am 25 whatever years later, and there's still no BS that I can note. And lo and behold, the monastery comes to our doorstep. Laurel and I are practicing from afar. We had seen Ajahn Amaro once before. I had been to a short retreat with Ajahn Amaro. And here comes the monastery. And Laurel and I have this incredible opportunity to be, if you will, the mom and dad of the monastery, because the monks obviously could not interface in certain ways with the public, which we could. So we were in, if you will, on the ground floor. One of the most powerful practices is spending time with monastics and seeing how they practice. So we had that opportunity in spades for a number of years when the monastery first came here. And I owe the quality of my life, we owe the quality of our marriage to what we have learned here. So I want to come back to a great thank you for the blessings that you and the monastery have brought, the people have brought, and a big thank you to everyone who's been involved, because without everybody's involvement, it just would not have happened. Thank you.
Sadhu, thank you so much.